Well, we got some gifts in this body, don't we?
बादशाहत की चाबियां पबंदी हिस्सा अव्वल सुबह खैर नया साल मुबारक हो। हमें बहुत ज्यादा आगे गौर करना है। क्या ये खुशकुन नहीं है? एक और साल गुजर चुका है और हम नए साल को अपने पेश पेश रखते हैं। क्या आप खुश नहीं हैं? मैं आपको बताऊंगा कि हमारे बेहतरीन दिन अब सामने हैं। ये हकीकत है। आप जानते हैं क्या हम बादशाहत की पेशकदमी कर रहे हैं? और मैं आपको बताऊंगा कि उसका हिस्सा बनने के लिए और उसकी बादशाहत की पेशकदमी करने वाले बनना खुशकुन है जो खुदावंद कर।
That's me speaking in tongues. No. No, but that, you know what that is? That's a Pakistanian pastor speaking our message, the messages that we bring. He's taking the messages from Russell Road Church, and we're sending them to him. He's heard about us on the internet, started listening to us on the internet. And Peggy, they sent us an email. They found out where they sent us an email and wanted to know if they could translate our messages into their language and speak it to their people. Isn't that too cool? And you all are part of that. And Peggy is staying in touch with them. And go ahead and flip it to the next. I'm gonna read that to you because some of you can't see it. I visited your site, and I am so impressed by your teachings. Well, I am interested to translate your ministerial literature, so with this literature, our Pakistani church will be also blessed, and we can win the lost souls through this awesome and precious work of the Lord. Thanks again for your considering us for this precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where I am living is a really remote area of my state, Punjab. We really need to spread more of the Word of God. We are praying that you will open a small branch of Russell Road Christian Center here in Pakistan, and we are ready to serve through Russell Road Christian Center. May God richly bless you. Isn't that cool? You know, I just want to show you that, you know, we're going beyond Sydney, and we're all a part of this. We're in this together. You all are in this too now, right? Ain't no one person can do all this. We need each other, don't we? And so, well, we had someone that understood that language in the first service, and they were looking around. I saw this person looking around, and they thought it was God talking to them. They thought, where on earth is this word cut? Because they understood it. Oh, then they came in, they were all excited because they're real mission-oriented and stuff. It was kind of cool. What we got? Okay. See, this is the idea. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're to be about. That's the call on our life. Okay, go ahead. That's our mission, to seek and save the lost, to set the oppressed free through preaching the gospel and making disciples. That's our mission statement here. That's not our vision. Our vision is different than our mission statement. But that's our mission statement, and that's what we want to be about. And so it's about covering the globe with the gospel. Amen? And you know what? Only God can do something like that. You know, hear us on the internet all the way on the other side of the continent. You know, I'm just telling you, only God does those kind of things. And so, we're grateful, aren't we? I mean, this is exciting. Okay, now, have you all had a good week? Get your salubrious in? Your salubrious activity? Do what? All right, whatever she said. I think she's trying to talk Urdu. Does cleaning count? Well, you know, if it's hard work, that does, yeah. If it's cleaning your room, that's salubrious. <clears throat> That's, you know what? We got some young people in here today. You know what? I want to tell you. I want to speak to the teenagers. You know what? I want to say something to you right now. I want to tell you, don't you even get caught up in all of what your friends think about at school and all around you. You find somebody who's dreaming your dreams and who's speaking your language, and you connect with them. And I'm going to tell you what, because you know what? Those friends that you're trying to please, they're not going to be around. They're not going to be around. When you graduate, they're going to be nowhere. Get in there and get your education. You get in there and do your best in school and find out whatever you're dreaming about, get connected with that. And find somebody who's dreaming like you, and you get connected with that. Are you listening to me, young people? Now, I'll tell you what, I think I'm prophesying right now. I really believe I am. Young people, get a hold of what I'm... Quit trying to please everybody and find out what you're dreaming about. And find somebody who's smart in that area or in that area of your education and get in there and get connected with that and hang around them and quit hanging around, trying to hang around with everybody and dress like everybody, right? You know what? I did that in high school, and I was a mess. That's why I'm trying to share this with you. Those people that you're trying to please, they're going to be nowhere when you need them. Nowhere. You'll never find them when you really need them. All right, where were we? I'm just here to tell you, folks. This is it. Okay. So where were we? Oh, salubrious activity. You did that? Okay. What we've been talking about? Stewardship. What's stewardship mean? It means the managing and management of another's affairs and finances. And this is an area we need to really grow and mature in, is this area of stewardship. Stewardship is a key of the kingdom. Remember Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Remember, a key is a principle. And remember he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Bind means to lock, loose means to open. When you operate and live in these principles, you can open doors that no one can close. And you can close doors that no one can open. And that's what these principles do. We need to get above. Remember Paul said in Colossians 2:8, he said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the basic principles of this world. See, if you just live according to the basic principles of this world, you're going to be cheated in life. You'll never fulfill the plan and purpose of God in your life. We have to get above the basic principles of this world. And that's what the kingdom of God, it's about supernatural. You are a supernatural being. And God is in the church right now. He is taking the natural and turning it into the supernatural. That's what he's interested in. He's interested in you getting out of the natural and getting into the supernatural and living out of that. That's what he's interested in. And that's what he's calling the church to. Living out of the supernatural. And that's where a church is doing that, you're going to see it flourishing and growing. Where a church is not doing that, it's all about tradition and man's ideas. They're dying by the wayside. Are you with me? Where God's church is and his people are, and they're responding in the obedience to the word of God, they're going to flourish, and they're going to, no matter what the economy is doing out here, they're going to continue to prosper, and they're going to continue to grow in maturity and whole and health. Are you with me? In the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a whole nother economy. Remember what Jesus said. He said, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember? And his righteousness. And what? All these things will be added to you. His righteousness is his right relationship with God. That's what he's interested in. He's interested in you having a right relationship with God. With him. That's his primary interest in your life. That's why you need to get focused and quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking and get a hold of him. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll start to see your life change. Seek first the kingdom of God. What did he say before that? He says, and I will add all these things to your life. What things? What you want to eat, what you need to wear, what you need to drink, the shelter you need. He's going to take care of those things in your life if you seek first the kingdom of God. You see that? And then what he say in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6? He said, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. Remember the word eye means vision. If your vision is good, clear, and single, that's what good means, clear and single. If your vision is clear and single, your whole body would be full of light. So in other words, if I have a good, clear, single vision of this kingdom of God and all of its principles, then I am going to be walking in the light. My whole body will be full of light. In other words, I'm going to know where I'm going, and I'm going to help others know where they're get them to go where they're going. Are you with me? That's walking in the light. But just before, just after that, it says if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. See, what happens is people can live in church all their life and they never get these principles. They never really get a good, clear vision of the kingdom of God, and they stay in the dark. And darkness represents ignorance. They stay in the dark and they just stammer through life. They just stammer through life, and they really aren't affecting anybody, and they really have no influence in advancing the kingdom of God. And they are 85 years old because they've stayed in the dark about what I'm talking about today, this vision of the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? Whatever affects your vision, okay, will detour your mobility. Whatever affects your vision will detour your mobility. You will be, your mobility will be hindered in life when you can't see, you don't have a good, clear vision of the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? And so that's why we have to grow in these principles. And he's taught, you know what he's, all he's talking about there is stewardship. How you handle your money. It's about how you handle your money. Money is one thing you can, it's tangible, and you can turn the tangible into the intangible and make it incorruptible and eternal. There is nothing else you can do that with. And that's why we have to grow in our understanding of how we handle our money. Am I making sense today? I'll tell you what, folks. This is an area. Why is this so important? Because marriages are falling by the wayside because of money. They're getting divorced more than any other reason because of money. We get more call, our economy, it's all about money. Economic crisis. The church is in a crisis because they don't understand. They're not getting it in this area of handling their money. We need a clearer vision of what God says about money. And he says a tithe is a 10%. It's a divine portion. That's what it is. It's a divine portion. A tithe is a divine portion. And when we understand this, we put other things in motion in our life. If we don't get the least of this, remember, how are we going to believe for the rest? Remember, whatever, you're faithful in the least, you'll be faithful in much. If you're unjust in the least, you're going to be unjust in the much. And that's how it is, folks. This is so big. You know, and if you're here for the first time and you think I'm talking about money and you're mad, you know what? We need to get over that. We need to really get over that. Because you see, that right there is an attitude that you can use that for an excuse for the rest of your life. And you're never gonna truly prosper in the things of God. I hear people say, well, all they want to talk about is money. That's not all we want to talk about here. We're talking about stewardship, right? And so that's why I don't want you to come here for the first time and think, oh, they're talking about money again. No. That's not what we're doing. We're teaching and we're learning and we're growing and understanding how the kingdom operates. And I'm going to tell you what, the kingdom is about money and how we're handling money here on earth. Am I making sense? All right. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. That word reconciled is an accountant's term. They use it in handling money. Isn't that something? Reconciled. in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. God is revealing things. Reveal means to uncover. He is uncovering things to his saints. If you are a born-again believer, you are a saint. You are a saint. You say, well, I don't think I'm a saint. Yeah, if you're born again, you're a saint. You have the saints and the ain'ts, right? If you're born again, you're a saint. And that's the way you need to see yourself. God is revealing things to his saints about the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this place. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. We ask, Lord, that you continue to give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Increase our understanding today, Lord. Increase our understanding. Lift yokes and burdens and bondages with your yoke-destroying, burden-lifting power by the anointing. Your anointing, let it flow through here today. Let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Now, Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. You see, Paul's saying, I'm going through things for the sake of his body. Let me tell you something. When you're a minister and a pastor, you're going to go through some stuff. What? You know, I hear people say, well, they see, they come in a setting like this, and they see somebody standing up here. I want to do that. Well, I think that's what I'm supposed to do. Huh? You better be called to that. There is nothing glorious and glamorous about being a pastor. I'm just here to tell you. And that's what he said he went through it for, so that you all, so the church of Colossian, the Colossian church, would fulfill the word of God. And that's what a minister does. He goes through things. If he's truly trying to bring the word, he'll go through things to help you steward and fulfill the word of God in your life. Am I making sense? And that's the way it works. Now look at this. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. always gives. Love always gives. And that's the idea. For God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten Son. That what? Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Remember that word perish? Means lack of self-discipline and lack of self-control. God is trying to bring some discipline and self-control to the body of Christ. And it begins with giving. It begins in our giving. For God so loved the world. God loved us. He gave his only begotten Son. You know what? We have a problem writing a tithe check. But God gave his Son. What if you had to give your Son? I'd say that's love, wouldn't you? But you know what you do when you write your tithe check? You're expressing your love towards God. Back to God. And I'm going to tell you what. God has brought you through things that some of you would have had nervous breakdowns. He has brought you through things and brought you out of dysfunctions and places in your life that you would have never made it. But because of his love, he brought you out. And you know what? When we tithe, we're expressing our love back to him. That's really what's going on. Because remember, it's all about our heart. Remember, out of your heart is the treasures. What you treasures in your heart, right? It comes from your heart. And that's it. Lay up for yourself. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures, right? That moth and thieves come in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven. How do you lay up treasures in heaven? By giving and understanding the kingdom of God here on earth. You lay treasures in heaven. And then heaven can come to earth for you on your behalf. Does that make sense? So lust, there's a big difference in lust and love. Am I right about it? Marriage, some people get married because of lust. I've seen it in this church. People get married out of lust. Lust is self-gratification. It don't last. Well, you know, it looks good at first, and then it gets bored. Huh? That's what it does. It gets bored. Lust gets bored. Love lasts. Real love lasts forever. And that's the love that God is trying to get us to walk into. You see, when you lust, you get bored in it. And when you're done. Right? But now when you love, you say, all mine is yours. Everything I got is yours. Huh? That's love, right? And that's healthy in marriage. All mine is yours. You know what? That's healthy in a relationship with God. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes people will come to church and they see believers doing well and it looks like they're prospering and they go, man, they're happy? I want that. Well, they'll come to church and they'll get saved and they'll start giving. But it's out of lust and it's not really working the way they thought it was going to work. You see that? It's not really working right away the way they thought. So they're really, and then they quit. And then they go away, and you never see them again. But the ones that continue in it and get it, and they give, and they continue, and they grow, you see them maturing in the faith. You see them in the call of God on their life, and things working. Spirit, you know what? Sometimes you got to go through hell, and God will be in it. You see that? That's what a lot of people come in here and say. Well, I want to be like you. I want to do what you do. Well, they don't see all that I went through to get there. And didn't even want to go through none of that to get there. Are you with me? Does this make sense? They want it right now. That's lust. Huh? They give, and then when it don't work out, they quit giving. And you know what? The things of God. You know, what's it say in Malachi 3? It says, when you don't tithe, you rob God. That word rob means to what? In the Hebrew, it means bodily harm and physical injury. In other words, when you don't tithe, you actually bring harm to the body and physical injury. Physical injury means that the body of Christ is not able to help people in their physical needs. Huh? It takes money to help people and send people overseas and reach people. You hear what I'm saying? Am I making sense? So now think about this. And that's love. Not lust. Lust is self-gratification. Love gives, right? God is a lover. And He's a giver. And you know what? That's what He wants you to be. That's what He's looking for you. But He wants you to do it out of your love for Him. Not what He can do for you. Is this making sense? That's what He wants. He wants you to give out of your love for Him. Remember, it says, though I give my body to be burned and give everything I have to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. No thing, right? Nothing. Zero. God is looking at the motives from your giving, from everything you do. What's the motive behind it? Right? I remember I had a grandmother, and she would give me anything I wanted. I remember when I was a kid, she'd buy me new Swin bicycles and just buy me just about anything I wanted. But she always wanted me to come over and do this and do that and do this and do that. And she would call up and she'd say, "Well, you know, I got that bicycle for you." And then I got in high school, you know, I thought, I needed some Kraeger Mag wheels, so I'll go talk to Grandma. "Oh, well, yeah, let's go get them." Yeah, we went and got them, and then call up a couple weeks later, "Well, you know, my grass needs mowed. I want it trimmed over here, and I want this done and that done." I'm thinking, oh, boy. I wanted to take the wheels off and go put them on her front porch and hasta la vista. I wanted to get out of there. Are you with me? I talked to her on the phone. I was like, because she always wanted me to do that. There was manipulation behind it. You see, there was a motive. Am I making sense? And then I had a grandmother that loved me and baked me cakes, bite my ear, you know, and I knew she loved me, right? You know, just always, you know, just always loving me. And, you know, she never gave me anything. And I would be on the phone and I remember I'd cry when it was come time to get off the phone. That's all right. Thank you, Barbara Jean. Barbara Jean loves me. He said she needs her grass cut. Oh, that spring grass is coming up, isn't it? No, I know Barbara Jean loves me. All right, I hope I don't knock that over. Okay. So, you see my point about what's behind it? You see, that's what's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about the foundation should be Christ and the works that you do, all that you do. And then it says, some build out of gold, silver, and precious stones. And then some out of wood, hay, and straw or stubble. And then on the day of the Lord, capital D, the day of the Lord, okay, it burns up. Whatever burns up meant it had no eternal value, had no redeeming, it had nothing. You know what that is? That's testing. That's your motives. Why you do things. That's what that is. Some of them did everything right, but it was for the wrong reason. Burn up. Huh? Are we making sense? This is huge. This is huge. That's why we got to understand this. Because you know, folks, when you tithe, you are expressing your love towards God. That's what it is. You're saying, God, you're it. Because there's always a wrestling for your heart. Now look at this. Where are we at? Verse 10. For the love of money, I got to hurry. For the love of money is a root, is the root of all kinds of what? For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Now, money's not evil. It's the love of money that's evil. You see that? Because you know what? Money has power. Money has power. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and they got two big new cars in the garage and, you know, the house, everything's all manicured and looking good, and they're miserable as a goose in a hailstorm? And they're always negative. Everything looks good. Oh, yeah, they look like, man, they got it. You just think, these folks got it together. But inside, they're miserable. You know what? That's what lust does. It works from the outside in. Love works from the inside out. And that's where the kingdom of God is. It may take you and I a little longer to get the double car garage or whatever, but you know what? It'll be in His plan and His will. Am I making sense? Come on now. Oh. Money is not evil, right? Money's not evil. It's the love of money is what's evil. And that's what we got to watch. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Y'all all right? You get anything out of this? I'll tell you what. This is going to work. This will get you through. This will get you into the plan and purpose of God. You know, God is all about relationship. He's all about relationship. Reconciled. We've been reconciled. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled to what? Reconciled. Back to, R-E, right? The prefix, R-E, back to. Back to what? The garden. Back to the garden. How was it in the garden before they fell? They had plenty. Everything was right there at their reach. Everything they needed was right there. Their environment was fruitful. Everything they had was right there. That's the kind of environment God wants you in. He wants you to have plenty. He wants you to have enough to give someone else. And it'd be right there, ready, available, regardless of what the world is doing. Now, that's what it's about. Back to the garden, right? Are you with me? Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Everybody say, tithing is a principle of divine portion. Now, when you violate that principle, remember we said last week, we've gotten away from this idea that God is going to curse us or God is going to get us if we don't tithe. It's not about God is going to get you. You bring the curse, you bring the mess in your own life when you don't obey this principle. You see that? By not obeying this principle, you bring the mess. So that's why it's so important for us to understand this. Now look at this. Genesis. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The very first thing, go with me to, hold up a minute. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Right? And then it talks about, "Do not love the world or the things in it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever." You see, that's what we're after. We're after the will of God. It's God's will that we love him, right? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." God is looking at our heart, right? That's why he's concerned about your motives and what you do, why you do them. Now, go with me to, do you see the idea of lust there? Right? He tells you the love of God and what it is, and what it isn't, and it's not about lust, right? Because lust is temporary, self-gratifying. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And you know what? That's what the enemy does. He tries to get you to question God. He will slither in, and he'll come around when you're by yourself and try to get you to question what God says and get you to wonder if it's true what God has said. Now think about this. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" You know what? That tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's a principle. You could say, you're not supposed to eat the tithe. That tree represents the tithe. It represents the tithe. Now look at this. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," lust of the flesh, 1 John 2, 16 and 17, "that it was pleasant to the eyes," lust of the eyes, 1 John 2, 16 and 17, "and a tree desirable to make one wise," the pride of life, "she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." They no longer had the covering of God. The glory of God no longer covered them. Now think about this. The enemy will always slither in when you least expect it, because he wants you out of your position. Because see, that's what divine principles do. They put you in a position. See, that's what seek and save the lost. That word lost means out of position and out of alignment. See, when we're out of our position, we're lost. The tithe puts you in a position, puts you in position so God can do business with you. God was doing kingdom business on the cross. Redemption took place on the cross. If you're in business and somebody robs you, what are you going to do? You're going to stop doing business with them, right? That's the way it is with God. He deals in percentages and portions. You got some people living in a $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 house, and they're tithing, and that's okay, that's good. If they're giving $100,000 a year and they live in a million, they make $1 million, that's all right. They live in a $500,000. That's okay as long as it's in proportion. God looks at what you have and how you live according to how you give. You got some people live in a $100,000 house, don't give a penny. You got some people live in a $200,000, $300,000, driving big new SUV, and they don't want to give a penny. You know what? That's out of proportion. God can't even begin to think about blessing that. He won't. Well, you're preaching now. Well, am I making sense? This is the way it is, folks. The tithe is a divine portion. It's just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It puts you in a place. It will help you get into an environment where what you need is readily available. Am I making sense? And it needs to be out of your love relationship with Him. It actually demonstrates that to God. See, He knows the motives of your heart. He's always searching your heart. Always. He always looks at your heart. It's all about the love of God, folks. God wants you to prove your love by your discipline. How you discipline yourself in this area. And when you begin to discipline yourself in this area, you see, God gave them a choice. They proved their love by the choice they made. You see that? That's the same way it is with us. We prove our love to Him by the choice you make, and He will never force anything on you. Lust takes, love gives. Say that with me. Lust takes, love gives. Again, I want to remind you that God has blessed you and that you have come this far because God has been watching over you. And right now, kids and all, whatever, I know some of you want to, but folks, I want you to worship God. I want you to begin to worship God right now, right in your seat. I want you to give Him thanks for how far He's brought you. From your childhood on up, I want you to give Him thanks. Because listen to me, folks, we owe God everything. Some of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. I'm just here to tell you right now, and you know I'm telling you the truth. God is watching over us, and His eyes are always on us. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards Him. I want you to worship God right now in your seat. Just worship Him. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Lord, we want to worship You with all of our heart. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for all You've brought us through, Father. Father, we worship You. We worship You. We love You, Lord. Just worship the Lord and thank Him, Lord. Right now. Just thank Him right now, Lord. Thank Him. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We worship You. We worship You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are our provider. We worship You. Even though we don't have a job, we worship You. Even though our marriage has failed and our partners walked out on us, we worship You, Lord. We worship You because of who You are. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Lord, we worship you even though we've got all these bills and all this debt. We worship you, Lord. We know that you are our provider. And we know that you have the answers, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you and you alone. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Worship the Lord. Come on, worship him. Worship. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise for all he's brought you through. Right now, just give him praise. We worship you, Lord. I got a brief word after we sing this song. We worship you, Lord.